Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World's title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for 10 pounds of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Back-to-back tapings. We've recorded two episodes of the Wrestle Ramble. You're about to hear the second one of those episodes we recorded. How are you feeling after a double taping?
I'm good. And now we've got, you know, the 3 hours of WrestleMania 25 fun to do as well.
Oh, I know, because we've got a lot of stuff to catch up on there.
Our ears are going to be sore in these headsets.
We need to take a quick break, because we need to go and like have some lunch and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, let's get on with the show.
And this comes from a Patreon mailbag question from Jared Conaster, who asks, who do you want to see called up from NXT after WrestleMania?
We're in that season.
Yes.
We're probably going to see some on the Raw after Mania. We're going to see some on the SmackDown after Mania. And then maybe we'll even see some when the Superstar Shake-Up comes.
I really hope they don't use that, because I feel like everyone just... WWE are really good at coming up with a bit of verbiage, and then everyone makes fun of it for a few months, like, that sounds stupid, but then they say it so much, everyone else just uses it as normal. The Superstar Shake-Up is abhorrent as a term, and it's only something I've remembered how much I hate that term recently.
You are very angry
draft.
About it.
It's called it a draft. Let's be grown-ups.
Not a draft anymore. Vince McMahon has changed his mind on these things. They don't do drafts anymore.
So I read somewhere that the reason it was called a Superstar Shake-Up rather than a draft is because it wasn't a full year after, and at that time they were toying with having two Superstar Shake-Ups a year rather than one draft a year. So that's why they called it a Shake-Up, because it was only a few trades rather than a full-on thing. So I'm hoping it's going to go back to being called a draft this year.
If they are going to do it as a draft, I want them to do it like a proper draft where you have your general managers and your commissioners, not that you need both of them, but them standing out there saying, like, we have picked this person.
Yeah.
Like, we have agreed to draft this person across, rather than just being like, and bloody blah is moving to Raw. Like, just randomly announcing it.
And it's not a good concept, but it is certainly a concept. And they just do it. But that's a concept that you could get weeks of TV storyline out of. You know, Maybe you've got a few matches, inter-brand matches, to decide who gets the first pick.
Then what about Survivor Series?
Well, yeah. But like, you could actually build this up. It's baffling to me why they don't put more investment around the idea.
Are you just asking them to do it better?
I'm just asking them to do it better, yeah. It's an open goal situation.
It's such an open goal situation.
I don't know how they muck it up.
But back to the point at hand, the question is, who are our NXT call-ups post-Mania? So I think my first two, if I was drafting...
How many are you going to do?
Well, I don't know, because I'm just going to improv this. Like, I don't write down notes like you do. Although I've just seen you've got two of the names I had down there, which is Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
Ah, okay.
Because I really feel that this... What WWE need to do this year is bolster their women's division. They need to add more and more names to it so we don't get to the Royal Rumble next year and it be like, oh, actually... 25%, half of our Royal Rumble here, over half our Royal Rumble is nostalgic entrants. You need to have like a stacked roster so that you can do multiple feuds, you can do this, you can do that, and you can have a full Royal Rumble come January 2019. So I think Billy Kay and Peyton Royce are ready. They haven't done anything in NXT for ages.
Yeah.
I thought it almost seemed to make sense that they were going to be the first people that Ember Moon would feud with once she won the NXT Championship last summer, but lo and behold, they weren't. And I just think they're so good, and they've got such a good act and such a good look. I think that they are almost tailor-made to be heading straight to the main roster now.
I agree, yeah, that it's all about their act, and the storylines you can do with them, like they're just such best friends, and they will... lay down for each other in matches so they could become the champions together. That will really, that they'll be the, of all the people, of all the women down in NXT, they'd be the best injection storyline wise, I think.
They're both great promos as well.
Plus, and this is my thoughts for the whole question. I'm looking at NXT now, and this is the first time in 2 years back since the first draft where that draft gutted with the brand split. It gutted NXT and all the talent.
God, didn't it just, all up. Yeah.
And then you had about like a good year and a half of...
Rebuilding.
And finally now, the last 6 months have been really very good. And I feel like you've got a proper NXT class now. You know, you've got Adam Cole, you've got Aleister Black, Almas. And it feels really deep. And I don't actually want any of them to be called up. Because they've got a good thing going down there at the moment. Yeah. However, there are a few names who I feel like have nothing left to do in NXT. And I think that's really how you should call people up.
Yeah.
Apart from Ricochet. He should just go straight to the main roster.
Another name that I would like to put down before you make a suggestion is the Velveteen Dream.
No, he's not ready.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I think Velveteen Dream, particularly on Mania weekend, I think he's going to be so over... at NXT TakeOver New Orleans. I think he'll get such a superstar reaction should he debut on Raw or SmackDown.
He's only been wrestling in ring for three or four years.
But he had that amazing match at
with Aleister Black.
Well,
and the
perhaps.
Second one was with Cassius Ohno. I'm not taking much away from Velveteen Dream because performance-wise, the guy is phenomenal. Like, I wouldn't change a thing about his act, but wrestling-wise... he does botch quite a few moves.
I just
think he could do with another year in NXT to really get that through. Although, you know, by all accounts, NXT wrestlers don't get a great deal of in-ring time. Whereas,
really?
Yeah, yeah. If you're a trainee, you're not running shows all the time like Raw and SmackDown.
They mostly are.
The dates are much fewer.
Much fewer, yeah.
Yeah, and you do most of the dates like... The TV tapings are all condensed into one, and then you run weekends, and not everyone's going to have a match every weekend. So apparently, you know, if you're like the trainee levels of NXT, only wrestle about 20 matches a year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's why the actual NXT wrestler success rate isn't amazing. The NXT project is really just sort of taking good guys from elsewhere and conditioning them to the WWE style. As far as homegrown stuff, actually very little, whereas the New Japan Dojo formula, where you go in and you are wrestling matches over and over again in front of live crowds from, you know, like a fortnight into your training, and it's just about getting those reps in all on the basics, they have a ridiculously high success rate. They have small classes and a very high proportion of people who make it through.
That's interesting.
Whereas NXT are much wider, and you know, I mean, who's NXT made really that didn't have a prior name elsewhere?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of that. Enzo and Cass, yeah.
Rusev a bit, maybe.
Tyler Breeze, maybe.
Well, he was already a Lance Storm guy,
I suppose.
So
yeah,
he learnt much of that there. Although his character was very well defined in NXT.
So yeah, and then there's a name you've also got, which is the Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
And Authors of Pain, you've made an excellent point in which is putting them on Raw so you keep them away from the Bludgeon Brothers. I was also going to suggest, I'd imagine post-WrestleMania, we're going to see the debuts of War Machine in NXT as well.
Yeah.
So you don't really need like that big man team in NXT now, because you're going to have Hanson and Rowe doing that instead.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, what have the Authors of Pain got left to do?
Yeah.
I feel like they've done everything they can. All the storylines.
I completely agree.
Done, but yeah, I've only put the iconic duo really as the only women I would call up, because Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler, is you know needs a lot more time in NXT. Ember Moon, I feel like she you know deserves a good run with the belt, or at least fighting for it down there.
I think she could be a good face of that division as well. I think she can really build herself up with another year down in NXT.
But I would bring up Nikki Cross as part of Sanity, because I feel like Sanity have run their course as well on NXT.
Yeah, I would say that they've pretty much done everything they can do. And it's really interesting with the women of NXT, just taking a quick step backwards, because you've got people like Bianca Belair, and actually, taking a step forward, back to the Sanity thing, you've got a new group coming in, haven't you? What they call it, the Sons of Fury or something like that?
I keep wanting to say Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Anarchic Sons. I don't know.
Well, everyone will tell us
in the comments. Everyone keeps telling me.
Everyone tells us in the comments. We do forget. Yeah. Sorry about that. It's not, we're idiots. But you've got another group coming in. So do you need Sanity there when you've got a group that might be doing sort of the same thing? So actually, moving Sanity up to the main roster might be a really good shout.
Any others? That's all I've got in my
I'm trying to think if there's anyone, like, particularly from that the North American Championship match. That's kind of where I was looking at for people. And actually, if Aleister Black is winning the NXT Championship, love to see Almas go up to the main roster with Zelina Vega, because they're a really good act.
They'll get split up right away.
Well, obviously, yeah. But also, and I'd really like to have seen, before this stipulation was introduced, I thought we might see a Johnny Gargano call up, but now the stipulation is that if Gargano wins, he's reinstated into NXT. So it would be really weird to win a match where you're reinstated to NXT and then move up to the main roster a couple of nights later. So as much as I'd really like to see Johnny Wrestling and Ciampa move their way up, because they're so good, Ciampa in particular, like what a comeback that man has had. He's a true heel, and it's so great. But he's so good, he doesn't even want his T-shirt sold on WWE.com.
Old-fashioned heel.
Old-fashioned heel. So as much as I'd love to see them on the main roster, maybe they just need to stay in NXT for a little bit.
Did you ever listen to... Sorry, that was a good sign-off.
It was fine.
This section. Yeah.
You and I are very good at knowing when we're ending segments.
But did you ever listen to Ciampa's Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana?
No, I think you've asked me about this before.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Went through some dark times. And talks very openly about how he tried to kill himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's dark. But, yeah, sorry, that was a bad sign off.
Oh, man, we're ending on a bummer now.
Let's go into the next question.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This podcast is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review shows from wrestling's past. If you pledge now, you'll get our back catalogue of episodes, including Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and No Way Out 2004, and many others, as well as this month's episode, which will be WrestleMania 25. And $10 plus backers will become part of the Ramble Club, our new show where we talk about wrestling from around the world, including reviews of the Golden Lovers versus Cody and Marty Scurll, Austin Aries versus Eli Drake, and many, many more. All that and so much extra, so head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for more information.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Isaiah Webb asks on Patreon again. Of course, if you want to send any questions into the Wrestle Ramble, you have to be a Patreon pledger. But at any level, you know, from $1 to $300,000. So go over there and see. We haven't got a $300,000
reward. We do not.
Reward.
No, our highest is...
What would it look like?
Well, I mean, considering that the $500 level is you get to suggest, taste pending, a wrestle sketch scenario, what would you do at $300,000? We'd fly you to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, you already pay for that.
Well, I would just leave. I'd just, you won't hear from me again, Patreon or whatever.
Oh, so leave me to do everything.
Isaiah Webb asks, the Young Bucks have had a great amount of success, winning championships in almost every company they've worked for, while also making money with six-figure contracts and getting endorsement deals without being associated with the WWE. However, they are often criticised and described as overrated, unoriginal spot monkeys, who rely on the use of excessive super kicks and high dive spots to get their matches over. I think it's a bit hypocritical to hate them for working like that when people like Johnny Gargano, Flip Gordon, Kalisto, Adam Cole, Ricochet, Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, Kevin Owens, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Sami Callihan, Neville, Phoenix, Tommaso Ciampa, Sami Zayn have worked the same crazy spot fest style matches in PWG and on the independents. What are your opinions on this, Luke and Dolly?
Perhaps this is just me, but I think the era of saying that the Young Bucks are overrated spot monkeys who just do throw super kicks is sort of in the past now. I really feel that we've really moved on from this. If this question, you know, if someone had asked me this a year and a half ago, maybe you'd be like, oh, yeah, well, some people think that, but I tend to disagree because I think there's X, Y, and Z. But now I think that the Bucks have really moved past this. And I think they are now just, they've just established themselves as, like, one of, if not the greatest tag team on the planet, who can have really great psychological matches. They're excellent Mac technicians, Matt Jackson technicians, and they can do those sorts of matches. They don't rely on just doing big dives or making loud noises or doing or just, you know, lots of claps and things like that. They are now excellent pro wrestlers.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you can't keep up with their... If, like, anyone who still says that now isn't watching them.
Yeah.
Because the Strong Style Evolved main event, the Wrestle Kingdom 12 match, all their stuff in Ring of Honor last year, and New Japan, like, they're what, Show and Yo feud?
Show and Yo, yeah.
Like, the
Roppongi 3K, so good.
They are really good storytellers in the ring. This Bullet Club stuff with Kenny Omega, and when they, apparently, I haven't watched it all yet, but there's a spot from Strong Style Evolved where Matt Jackson is in the One Winged Angel. Have you heard about this?
I've not, no.
Oh, yeah. So, and Kenny Omega is selling this with his face, like, I don't want to give you the One Winged Angel. But, and so he starts to put his arm down while he's got Matt Jackson up there, and Matt grabs Kenny's arm and puts it over his head.
Oh, lovely.
And then Kenny delivers it. And it's just like, so that's not just, that not only are they great professional wrestlers in terms of getting the crowd invested, because you can say, oh, they do all these spots, yada, yada, yada. But the, like, it's getting a reaction.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that Dave Meltzer made this point because he was on a podcast with Jim, it was on Jim Cornette's podcast, having this very discussion, because Jim Cornette doesn't like Kenny Omega and he doesn't like the Young Bucks because they do X, Y, and Z. And Dave Meltzer just kept saying, he was like, well, I've been in the buildings when they do this stuff, and it really gets over, and the crowd pop for when they do this sort of stuff. So, I mean, if it's getting over, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
Like, and that's it's such a simple way of looking at it, but a really smart way of saying is like, yeah, I mean, they do this stuff, they get huge reactions. So clearly, maybe it's just wrestling style is changing, and the way that people watch wrestling is changing. Not only that, but I think the Bucks are just, the way that they craft their storylines with the use of being the Elite, and the fact that they've kind of built this brand all on their own. No other wrestler has managed to do this. Like,
say Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana with
the Trailblazer.
Yeah, with the Trailblazer for that, certainly with podcasts. And Zack Ryder with Z True Long Island Story. But he was sort of held down by the machine. The Young Bucks haven't got that machine that's to their home down. They've managed to just grow this now. They're doing just so well for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I give them a lot of credit. I think they're a really, really great and smart team.
Yeah, and they deliver in the emotion of the matches, which to me is the most important thing.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that criticism wasn't once valid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as I love them, I wouldn't defend them to the ends of the earth, because the stuff they do isn't to my taste. Like the Kenny Omega stuff sometimes, or you will not find a bigger Marty Scurll fan than I. But sometimes when he cheats too goofily, and I'm just like, oh, I wish you didn't do that in this match.
I think I might know someone who's a bigger Marty Scurll fan than you.
Who?
Patreon backer Courtney Summers.
Courtney Summers.
Yeah, Courtney Summers. She might be a bigger fan than Marty Scurll fan than you are. But it's interesting as well, because he there's two names in here that he in his big long list of people that people praise but then often criticize the Bucks. And it's a match that always brings this conversation up with me. It's Ricochet and Will Ospreay. That match that they had, there was a huge portion of the wrestling community that was just like one of the best matches of all time. It was just so good, so inventive, this and the other. But then there was this other half that were just like, it looks like ballet.
Mm.
And, you know, it looks far too choreographed, and that's not professional wrestling. So I don't think that there is there's no right or wrong answer
in this.
But for my personal thing, I think that the Young Bucks have really moved past this, they're just spot monkeys, criticism.
Yeah, it's a nice way to put it there. Like, what is professional wrestling? That it means so many different things to so many different people. You can't really... Yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, if you don't like the Young Bucks, you don't know what professional wrestling is. Because I think Jim Cornette knows what professional wrestling is. I respect the man tremendously
100%,
still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, he's just incredible, although he has fallen out of favour from a large group of people because he says things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, if... He's an excellent booker.
Yep.
And Ring of Honor. Just go back and watch Ring of Honor 2010, 2011 when he had the book. Great stuff. Ben Dowling asks, will Luke and Dolly be attending the Raw and SmackDown TV shows when they come to England in May?
I think so. I mean, we haven't got plans to go yet. We were invited last time. I don't know if we're going to be invited again. Because we got invited and then trashed the shows.
Yeah. Well, I don't enjoy the TV broadcasts.
No. Well, they're doing the TV in London. I thought they were doing a TV in Manchester this time.
Oh, I don't know. There's a house show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lendl Brenson writes, hello, guys. Now that Mark Henry has been inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, well, pending, although it is going to happen, that's not like they're going to swerve. Or he might, if he comes out in the pink jacket, don't you think Christian deserves to get in as well? I mean, not as the headliner, of course, but just as a regular inductee. I'm a big Henry fan, but in my opinion, Christian was just as good on the mic, especially as a heel. He's a better in-ring performer and has had more success as well. As good as Henry's feud with The Big Show in 2011 was, Christian's feud with Randy Orton that year was even better. Oh, man.
That's a big claim, because they are both excellent feuds. But
they are in different ways. Like, Henry's character was better, but the Christian-Randy Orton series of matches, matches,
so great.
Far exceeds. I mean, that was one of the best feuds of the year.
Yeah.
He surely deserves it more than some of the names that are in the Hall of Fame already. Would like to know what you guys think, in your opinions. Does Christian deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's not a real Hall of Fame, so yeah. It doesn't really matter if Christian never goes in. It's like, I don't understand why people would be upset that Mark Henry is going in, because it's not a real Hall of Fame. It doesn't really matter. Having said that, like, eventually Christian is going to have to go in, because they only have a certain pool of names that they can dip into. So he's going to be inducted at some point, but I'd imagine from a WWE sort of thing, they don't see Christian the way that the wrestling community sees Christian. He wasn't this great in-ring performer and this great promo and all this sort of stuff. He was the guy that Vince wanted to put a blue dot over because he just thinks he looks weird, and was very happy to let him go to TNA. And when he came back from TNA, they were just like, oh yeah, cool, Christian, that little mid-carder, is back. So it's kind of like the Jeff Jarrett thing. Like, when Jeff Jarrett is being inducted into this Hall of Fame, it's just for, hey, he was that Intercontinental Champion thing that sang With My Baby Tonight. He wasn't a champion in WCW. Mm. He wasn't the founder of TNA. He wasn't an NWA World's Champion. He wasn't all this sort of stuff. He was that guy that rode a horse once to a ring while was being flanked by Southern Justice with Ain't He Great! And, like, that's the Jeff Jarrett that's being inducted. So it's a way that WWE perceive him, I suppose.
Mm. He'll definitely go in. But and I'm sure to the people who do go in, it's really nice.
Yeah.
You're recognised by your peers. You get to, you know, have a nice crowning moment to your, or like a sort of end note to your an epilogue to your career.
And I'd imagine probably quite a nice dinner.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's all on the merits of who Vince McMahon likes that year, or
yeah.
who he wants to put in. There's no criteria for the Hall of Fame like there are for respectable ones, where, you know, like you have to have been on top this many times, or a huge ballot poll from loads of reviewers and wrestling minds, like people in the industry and stuff like that, like the Wrestling Observer has. So it's like, just like Hall of Fame questions, sure.
Yeah, well, that's
sure, you put him in. It doesn't matter, like you said. It does matter to him.
It does matter, yeah. And actually, like, Lendl brings up a really interesting point there, which is, like, you know, Big Show and Mark Henry had that amazing feud in 2011, but Christian and Randy Orton had, you know, arguably a much better feud. Like, when I went, I wasn't saying that I agree or disagree. I just think there's a strong case for both of them. But Christian was only in that position because Edge retired. Like, if Edge hadn't retired, then Christian wouldn't have been with the Narcissus Roar of that world's title.
$100 Man CD Horver, we're going to get your name right this time. Right, what's your... I love this question.
This question is so good.
What's your favourite law of wrestling physics? Those weird alternate reality axioms that, while have nothing to do with real-world physics, we all tactily accept as true within the squared circle. I'll kick it off with one that I call rotational power principle. The idea that adding a rotation to a move exponentially increases its power, a la the discus clothesline, 450 splash, or Angelo Dawkins' awful spinning stinger splash.
I take offence to that last one, because I like Angelo Dawkins' stinger splash.
I think I take offence to the whole thing. I think, well, you know, like Luke Harper's
discus clothesline.
Discus clothesline
looks vicious.
Is awesome, yeah. As does AJ Styles' spinning elbow,
yep,
that he does as part of his strike combination. And, you know, Marty Scurll, before he locks in the chicken wing, he does a twirl.
Does a twirl.
And that, it's about the rotation that gives you the momentum.
I was going to say, he said on commentary, it's momentum, and that's what you need when doing a move.
When Marty Scurll was doing that on guest commentary, that's because he was calling out, I think it was Kushida,
yeah,
for doing spins and flips. Why do you even do that? Why do you even do that? It doesn't add anything to the move. And then Colt asks him, well, you spin before the chicken wings. Well, that's for the momentum. He's so good as a heel promo sometimes.
So it's great. But you've got some really good ones here.
Well, this is probably the most famous one the Irish whip.
Yes, if you throw someone into the ropes, they're not just going to bounce back and run at you again. Like, physics-wise, that's not how momentum works.
Yeah, you can just stop. You can, well, from the moment that someone pushes you into the ropes, you know, you could stop after one step.
Yeah, just like, I'm just not going
to
run now.
Yeah, yeah, but you not only take the steps to hit the ropes, you bounce off the ropes and then take the steps back.
Because you've been thrown so hard against those ropes that you have to run back.
Yeah, but it's like, it's part of the wrestling lore. I wouldn't take that away because it makes stuff so more dynamic.
It's the same with, like, it's not really a sort of a law of wrestling physics, I suppose, but whenever John Cena is doing his comeback, everyone always goes to throw a clothesline that he can duck underneath.
Yeah.
If you're wrestling John Cena, just don't throw that clothesline because he will duck it and then he'll suplex you.
That's just bad scouting, though, on his opponent's part.
Really is.
The one that I don't actually like, though, although The Mist.
Are you not The Mist? I love like Mist. The Mist. Love that.
I never bought into it. I never buy into it, really.
No, I think it's cool. I think it's a really nice, it's a good colourful spot. I'm a fan
of it. Well, it's just like the referee. How can you not see something's gone awry here?
Yeah.
I think it makes everyone look stupid.
And you hate that in professional. You genuinely do hate that.
I don't hate referees looking, don't like it, undermining the referee's authority.
Yeah. And I suppose, again, I can't really think of good physics ones. Oh, I think this is such a good question. I really wish I'd given this a bit more thought. But we were talking about this on the Wrestle Ramble Extra that we were recording. When doing multi-man matches, if you are on the outside of the ring, it is customary for you to just sort of punch the person that you're next to while standing there waiting for someone else to do a dive. Like, you wouldn't, you don't do that elsewhere.
Looking
around, you don't do that elsewhere around the ring, but at other times, but only in those scenarios are you meant to go like, hey, you and me, mate, have a little bit of a punch up, some very weak looking punches here while we wait and look up.
You've unlocked another one for me. So WrestleMania 25, the Money in the Bank match, which we watched recently for the Wrestle Ramble Extra podcast, that'll be up soon. Of course, donate to Patreon to get that. There's a spot, a very dangerous spot, where Shelton Benjamin does a senton on six other people in the Money in the Bank match off a huge ladder on the outside.
Oh, I know exactly what's going on.
And everyone's doing the thing that you just said, where they're sort of punching each other but looking up ready to catch him. And he dives down. They barely catch him. He sort of headbutts the floor. But Kane is to the left of all this. Yeah. No one touches him. Like, Shelton Benjamin lands on everyone. But even the closest person catching Benjamin to Kane, who falls over, is still a good foot away from Kane. But he still falls over.
Yeah, well, it was the explosion of Shelton Benjamin hitting the ground. The shockwave. Woof! And just like, and it took him off his feet and sent him backwards.
Then he sells that for 3 minutes.
Well, the force of it. He jumped off a big old ladder. I can buy into it.
There's also a Joe Rogan recent, like 2 weeks ago, I think, he had a big wrestling fan on. And Joe Rogan appreciates wrestlers, but he doesn't really like wrestling, doesn't get it. But he's, of course, he's the color commentator for UFC. And they went through a lot of wrestling submissions, and Joe Rogan would, you know, say, because he's very versed in jiu-jitsu and stuff, he would say if those would be authentic submissions in the real world.
Mm.
And the figure four, he said, well, it's, you know, it's good, but reversing it like that wouldn't then automatically put
the... It reverses the pressure, though. Like, Jim Ross has told me that time and time again. Yeah. You reverse the pressure when you do that.
Yeah. So that was the only other one. Ben Sawyer, in a very timely question, does WWE overuse multi-man match formats, i.e. triple threats, four ways, five ways, etc.? In particular, championship matches at pay-per-views always end up feeling like WWE just throws an entire roster division into the ring at the last minute for the sake of having lots of names on the show card. The crowded Fastlane main event was an extreme example of this, even spawning internet memes. But now there's the US and SmackDown Tag Championships at Mania. Don't get me wrong, I'm excited to see Rusev get a title shot, and that six-man tag sounds epic, but I can't shake the feeling that it's creatively lazy.
I think he means the triple threat tag team match as opposed to the six-man tag.
Yeah.
I do agree, but this is one of those issues where WWE have got almost too many people on the roster. Mm. They've got too many big names, and because of the WrestleMania payday and because of pay-per-view payday, everyone has to be on the card. You almost feel like you have to get people on the card so they can get that payday. It's why the Battle Royal exists, because not everyone gets to be on the card, but with the Battle Royal, everyone does get to be on the card. Previously, before the Battle Royal, everyone was a lumberjack. just because then you're on the card and you get the WrestleMania payday. So I do think that the multi-man match format gets overused far too much. But, I mean, we said this at the time when we reviewed Fastlane. It's difficult to have 6 men in the ring of that caliber and not have fun watching it. And I do usually have fun when I watch the multi-man matches.
Yeah, like there was a 5-way at Extreme Rules.
A 6-way at Extreme Rules.
Was it 6-way?
And it was the 5-way was on the SmackDown before it.
Oh, no.
But without John Cena.
I'm talking about last year.
Oh, last year. I thought you said Fastlane. 5-year, the Extreme Rules last year. Yes, yeah. You are completely 100% right.
And the SummerSlam 4-way. Yeah. That was also great. So, like, those matches can work, but WWE have definitely overused them in the last 4 or 5 months. And it's not just creatively lazy in terms of let's just chuck everyone in this match. It's also a booking crutch where you don't have to really beat anyone. Mm-hmm. You can pin Dolph Ziggler and not have it affect other people in the match. So which you would have to find a creative way around that if it was just one-on-one, which is really, like, those are the best matches from a story standpoint. It's much more substantial to put your teeth into. I hope my facial expression showed how much I dislike the mentality of get everyone on WrestleMania for a payday.
Oh, I mean, you don't even have to tell me, mate. I completely agree.
Because I don't, as a fan, call me selfish, or, you know, as someone who would buy tickets to see something, no other industry's like this. You know, they don't say, if it's a film, they intentionally cut stuff out that isn't good enough to make the final cut. But in wrestling, there's this idea, and I guess it's from, you know, the old days of the wrestling industry where you need to get everyone on the card. But as a fan, I would much prefer you invest a lot of time in a bunch of, like, maximum 10 matches, a couple of multi-man matches, but mostly singles matches, and you just have the best wrestlers in the best storylines on that show. You don't put everyone on there because you feel like you owe them something. You should owe me something because I am the fan watching it. I get that makes me sound disrespectful to the wrestlers.
And entitled.
But it is. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
No, I know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that the mentality of, like, you should do it because that's what I want is, I think, is slightly wrong.
The larger wrestling fan.
I think the better way to do that, as you were sort of originally saying, is, like, you should do this because it just makes a better product.
Yes. Well, that's it. That's it. And why would you make a better product? So more people like it and watch it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
So if I was running a wrestling promotion, I would not try and find a way to get every single performer on the card. I would pick the creme de la creme for my biggest show of the year and do it that way.
Also, it allows you to cycle people in and out. Mm. Like, you don't, if you had that 6-man match you had at Fastlane, that actually could have been 8 months worth of story, but cycling people in and out of those feuds, so you just have these one-on-one matches.
Yeah.
But you don't need Baron Corbin on TV every week. You don't need Dolph Ziggler on TV every week. Just cycle these people in and out. And that also makes for a much more refreshing product because you're not seeing the same faces each and every week.
Totally agree.
So we're going to try and keep this brief. You got any plans for the weekend?
Well, I guess that this is going up on Monday.
Oh,
so
God, yeah. Okay, well, what did you do over the weekend?
What did I do? Easter stuff. Hopefully just played my Nintendo Switch.
Fingers crossed.
I didn't tell you what I got from my lady partner.
You did not tell me what you got.
So we're going to see the Grand Budapest Hotel in a local museum screening to us, which comes with accompanying bites.
Wow.
Yeah, so it, like, food curated to the film. But then in May, me and my lady partner are going on a wood making course.
Whoa!
Gonna make a bowl.
That's cool. Yeah, out of wood. Yeah. Nice.
So splinters galore. How about you?
Well, I am. This is going up on the Monday, so I won't be spoiling anything here. Mm-hmm. But I am surprising the wife this weekend. So she thinks she, well, okay, so we're recording this on a Thursday, podcast listeners. She thinks this weekend, this Saturday, we are driving to my parents' house because they've invited us round and we're staying there overnight. That is not what we're doing.
Oh.
We are actually driving past the motorway exit for my parents' house because we are heading all the way down the M4 to Pembrokeshire in Wales because I have booked us a B&B that we're going to stay at. And then the following day, we're going to a cracking owl sanctuary and she's going to get to play around with owls for a bit.
And what are you going to ask?
Who? Who?
Who? Nice.
So she has no ideas. And I'm only going to tell her as we're sort of passing the junction that we would need to usually get off.
As she gets angry with you for not taking that turning.
Well, oh no, she's not in charge of any sort of any of that sort of thing. It was because usually it's like, oh, it was that last left. That's usually what we get when we do directions.
Sure.
That's why we got the blessing of the sat nav in the
car. It's a godsend. Well, I hope it all goes well. We'll find out on Wednesday.
I'm sure it should go fine. I don't think there's anything that can go terribly tits up.
Owls could attack you.
Oh, owls could attack me. But I'm actually not messing around with the owls. I'm actually just in the spectators bit.
Hey, Matt, owls could be... They're smart. They could get in.
They could turn their heads all the way around.
Yeah, that could be the start of the owlpocalypse. And they all start to rise up Alfred Hitchcock style.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, well, I'll tell you on Wednesday if that does happen. But until then, I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.